And more than a game this week, we're going to go back to the rivalry that was back into the, well, the mid-2000s and...
produced some of the best games.
Some of the best games. And they were the best games ever. There were two cracking grand finals back-to-back, and one of the greatest players that the Eagles ever produced. He won a Norm Smith medal in one of the greatest grand finals ever played. And he joins us now, and that's West Coast champion Andrew Ebley. G'day, Embers.
Yeah, g'day, lads. How are you? It was a pretty good rivalry back then, wasn't it, all those years ago? Fair to say the rivalry is certainly not as good these days. I think West Coast have let themselves down a little bit. But, yeah, listen, they were great games to be a part of. And as you mentioned, a couple of epic grand finals, some really big qualifying finals between both clubs. And, yeah, they were just super footy games to play in.
Well, we've spoken to you about this previously, so this is probably the fourth interview about it with you. But just thinking back, though, was it just difficult to know, I mean, or was it the occasion that made it so exciting to know that it was just going to be such a hard physical game against Sydney all the time? Like, was it somewhat thinking in your back of your mind, oh, I've got to do this again? Or was it just exciting that, you know, big crowd, big game and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, you sort of, every time you come up against the Swans, you knew what they were made up of. They had a great culture. They were well led. They had a very strong team work ethic. And there was a lot of attributes that we had as well. So you sort of knew that the game was always going to be tough and tight. And no matter, you know, what stage the game was, it was always going to be close at one stage. Whether a side got a little bit of a lead, the other team would find a way to come back. Sydney probably seemed to match up really well with us. So they just had a lot of really good one-on-one players. So they would, you know, say, you know, Dempster would come to myself, and Jude Bolton would maybe go to Chad Fletcher. And there was, you know, like everyone's like Matthews to Daniel Kerr. So there was just, and it was just almost like one-on-one football everywhere you went. It was just hard and tough. And yeah, as we know, that there was a couple of, you know, fantastic grand finals. But I think from memory, so 2005, the qualifying final, we beat Sydney by 4 points. And then, you know, three weeks later, they beat us in a grand final by 4 points. And then qualifying final in 06, we got beaten by 1 point in the qualifying final and then came back and won by 1 point in the grand final a few weeks later. So it was just like, and then I think the first game of 2007, round one, we beat Sydney by, you know, less than a kick up in Sydney. It was just a fantastic rivalry between both clubs. And whilst we you know, don't sort of really think about it and talk about it too much now, when you do catch up with a few of the Sydney guys around grand final time over in Melbourne, it's always that an unbelievable mutual respect that you have because of some of the great battles that you know, you did have with them. So you know, I'd say in that era, the Sydney players that we played against in the grand finals, there's something in common, and we've got that. We share a special bond, and you know, we do, you know, catch up and have a beer from time to time and briefly chat about it.
And Ebbers, it's Joel here. What was going up on the whiteboard every time you played Sydney? What was the main focus that your coach was putting to you? How would you win the game?
Yeah, Joel, we were very much focused on what we needed to do as a team. Like, obviously, we had an enormous amount of respect for Sydney and we knew what they were going to bring. But, you know, we had, you know, key focus points that we would focus on. We prided ourselves on being a really hard-running team. We felt like we could run harder than both sides. So it was, you know, a matter of just you know, getting ourselves to the contest, working for each other, sharing the footy around when we had to, you know, blocking for each other, and then just you know, working together as a group to be able to run, carry, link up and get the ball inside forward 50 and, you know, get a lot of pressure on as well when we got it in there. So that was sort of, you know, the key focus points. It was always about, you know, focusing on what we needed to do to win the game.
It's amazing. It's a far cry from what it is now, isn't it, Embers? With, you know, just thinking back to some of the players you just mentioned there, you know, Cox and Jard and Cousins and Kerr and yourself and Fletcher and, you know, these guns. And it's sort of fallen away quite alarmingly with the Eagles at the moment. What's your take on just generally on the Eagles and what they're going through now?
Yeah, it's been a disappointing few years, that's for sure. They obviously made a grand final in 2015 and then won a premiership in 2018. So, as we know, they're not easy to win. And probably had another throw at the stump sort of 2019, had the drama with Willie Rioli before a final, I think, sort of, you know, wiped out their season. And then just from there, it's been a gradual sort of decline. And then, the last sort of 12, 18 months, it's just almost a fall off the cliff. So, when you have a look at the group at the moment, they are still relying heavily on their senior players. So when you look at sort of last week's game against the Western Bulldogs, their best players were Elliot Yeo, McGovern, Tim Kelly, Liam Duggan. So the these guys have been A-graders in the past, but right now they still play a really important role for West Coast and still West Coast's best players. But you need that depth to be able to come through, and they haven't been able to get that as of yet. So obviously a lot of talk around Harley Reid. He's going to be a really, really good player, no doubt about that, but you can't be relying on Harley Reid in his first three or four games. So he needs a lot of support, and there's a big gap right now between maybe their top end, a few of those players that I mentioned, and the bottom. So they're definitely missing Oscar Allen inside forward 50. They found enough football, but they just can't get that connection piece right. And Jack Darling's been a really important player for West Coast for a long period of time, but I think his age is starting to catch up with him, and it doesn't look like he's covering the ground as well and not having an impact so far. And so they've got a fair bit to do, a fair bit to work on, but I think you got to, unfortunately, the bar is pretty low with West Coast right now, so you just got to start focusing on the small wins. And, their clearance work against the Western Bulldogs on the weekend was pretty good. So they've been able to match it with sides for maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and so that's got to be the message. If you can do it for 10, 15, why can't we do it for a quarter and a quarter and a half until they hopefully be able to do it for, four quarters? But right now they're just, miles off that side that can compete with the rest of the competition for a long period of time.
So that adage that, it's never as good as it is, or it's never as bad as it is, but is it actually as bad as it is? Because we never really hear anything positive this side of the country about the Eagles and how they're going, because just the looks of it.
No, I agree with you. It's hard to sort of look at the positives at the moment, because they just they don't look like a side that can win a game of football. So that's the disappointing part. Most times you play AFL football, you can go into the game and think if you bring your best, you're a chance of winning. But right now, even West Coast's absolute best is still well below the rest of the competition. So that's what they're dealing with. That's what they're fighting with at the moment. It must be frustrating, I think, for a lot of the senior players who have experienced success before, and for the younger guys right now, they must be feeling like, Jesus, is this group ever going to improve and get better? Are we ever going to win a game of footy? So, it's really important that they stick together. They're going to probably get a lot of attention and a lot of negative heat over the next however long weeks there are, but they just got to stay positive and focused, and hopefully, as I said before, they can start to get a few more smaller wins, then there might be a few more positive signs to come out of the way that they're playing. But on the surface right now, it looks like that's a long way away.
Definitely. And Embers, what about the other sort of end of the spectrum? Is Brisbane and Collingwood obviously had a matchup last week where neither of the teams had won a game, and obviously your success down at West Coast was prolonged. How do you sort of see, is there a formula behind winning for such a long time, or do you think there's a drop-off after a while?
Yeah, well, the first thing I'll say is that they're not easy to win, and in fact, they're really hard to make grand finals, let alone winning them. So whilst you always hear about this premiership hangover, when you have a look at the last 20-plus years, there hasn't been many teams that have actually gone back-to-back. Look at the great Geelong team, and whilst they won three or four premierships in the last 10, 15 years, like, they never went back-to-back. We saw, obviously, Hawthorn do it, Brisbane do it in the early 2000s. So when you win a flag, yes, there are a lot of other commitments that come with it in the postseason, but I know that sides, the feeling of winning grand finals, you know, you can't replace. So you want to be able to get there again. But the thing is, you do become the hunted, and sides look at you really closely, and they find out what you're doing really well, and they try to emulate that in their own game, and then they also find out ways to beat you as well. So, yeah, I mean, I saw at the start of the season, tipped Collingwood to win the flag this year. And, hey, listen, they still could. They were very good against Brisbane the weekend. They've started very slowly. Brisbane, obviously, have been a bit of a disappointment. I haven't seen their form the way that they've dropped off. I didn't see that coming. But, you know, it's still early in the season and you can get things right. So, you know, you do look at the two grand final teams. They did start their pre-season, obviously, later than everyone else. So, generally, their best football probably will be the second half of the year. But you don't want to be giving the competition a big head start like they have.
Mm. Yes, yes. Well, we're talking to Andrew Embley, of course. Now he's on the rush hour in Western Australia, so we've got to let him go very soon. But a couple of weeks ago, Embers, I was in a bit of an online argument with someone who was a better ruckman of the 21st century out of Dean Cox and Max Gawn. We're both very biased because I'm a Melbourne supporter, mate. But in your opinion, who has been the best ruckman of the 21st century, mate?
Oh, listen, I mean, I'm probably a bit biased as well because I played with who I thought was the best ruckman in my time in Dean Cox, and you know, through that era, you know, he dominated the ruck contest, and every ruckman that came up with against Dean was always like, this is a great opportunity to test myself against the best. So he was certainly regarded as the best, and he was probably the first ruckman to be able to. He almost became a midfielder, really. It was almost like, I'm not sure if this is the right analogy to use, but, you know, for Adam Gilchrist, once he became an opening batsman, he probably ruined, you know, keeping for all the other keepers, because if he couldn't actually bat, then you couldn't keep. And so he, you know, he obviously became an incredible batsman, and he was a keeper as well. And for Dean Cox, he was a ruckman, but he was also a midfielder too, so he would cover the ground and find the football. So, you know, ruckman that, you know, once upon a time, they might be able to just tap the football around and that was their only sole focus and maybe get six touches, you know, coming up against, you know, someone like a Dean Cox who was averaging it 20 times a game, then, you know, you've got, you know, Ben, you know, getting it 30 times, you've got Jody getting it 30 times, you've got Curry getting it 30 times, and then suddenly
you're getting it 30 times.
Yeah, and then your ruckman's getting it 20 times as well. It was just impossible to stop. So, and then when you have a look at all the ruckman now, Max Gawn starts to find the football 20 plus times a game. You know, Grundy's starting to find it a fair bit now. So, you know, Luke Jackson, seeing what he's doing at Fremantle right now, he's finding the football a lot. So ruckmen are no longer that tap ruckman that just sort of, you know, roam around the ground and get to a stoppage and, you know, tap it to a midfielder. They got to have an impact. And for mine, Dean Cox was the first ruckman in that sort of, you know, that era, that generation to be able to become a, you know, really versatile ruckman that just found so much footy for us too.
Okay, well, we're one all then, Embers. We're one all.
I think we're both biased.
I think so.
Max Gawn has been, he's certainly taken the baton off Dean Cox when he retired, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, what's on this afternoon's program, mate? Over on the Rush Hour in West Australia, you and Katie?
Well,
what are you talking about?
To be honest with you, boys, I've got the week off. It's a survey break over here. So they were very nice of Triple M to give us the week off. So I've actually just headed down to Margaret River.
Ooh.
My wife's family got a property down here, mate. So we're just chilling down here for the week, for a few days, and just about to go for a just for a drive and go and maybe watch the sunset a little bit later as well. So we're just having a nice, relaxing few days.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe a couple of Vino Rossos too.
Fantastic. Well, I'll let you get to it, mate. Really appreciate you giving us some of your time.
Yeah, good on you. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Joel. All the best, boys.
Cheers, Embers.
What a legend. Ah, there we go. Andrew Embley, previous player with the Eagles and also Norm Smith medalist in that 2006 year, and he actually made the connection, which I know everyone loves,
yeah.
The connection to the Melbourne Football Club. He presented Christian Petrarca with his Norm Smith.